The aim of our Living with Diabetes podcasts is to share information and inspire, and we endeavour to ensure that the information provided in them is accurate. It's not a substitute for medical or health advice from a healthcare professional who's aware of the facts and circumstances of your individual situation. We always recommend that advice be sought from your GP or diabetes nurse before making any changes to medication or before using any products or services referenced by DRWF. DRWF will not be held liable or responsible for failure to seek competent medical or health advice from a professional who's familiar with your situation. Views, information, or opinions contained in podcasts do not necessarily represent opinions, standards, or policies of DRWF. The inclusion of details about products or services does not indicate DRWF endorsement of them.
Hello and welcome to the latest podcast in our series, Living with Diabetes, brought to you by Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. I'm Claire Levy, and in this edition we're talking to illustrator Lucy Claire Dunbar, who lives with type 1 diabetes. She's launching her first book on World Diabetes Day, 14th of November 2024. The Book of Gifts is richly illustrated and aims to celebrate the kindness of strangers and commemorate loss, to reflections on the passing of time and the beginning of new opportunities as the years turn. It combines beautiful hand-drawn artwork with Lucy's words, which she hopes will speak to the heart. In this episode, you can hear my conversation with Lucy to not only discover more about the book, but also to learn about her own challenges of living with diabetes.
I'm Lucy, I'm 27 and I'm an illustrator designer. Yeah, and I've got type 1 diabetes.
So let's talk a little bit about your experiences of living with type 1. When were you diagnosed? How old were you?
So I was diagnosed at 2.5. So I don't really know any different to having diabetes. Like I'm one of five as well, and I'm the only one in the family with diabetes. But yeah, I got the flu, and then we think that's what triggered the kind of autoimmune reaction. And yeah, my family were like really amazing with it though. So I truly didn't realize there was anything kind of different about me until I was maybe like 11, 12. So I was very lucky. And everyone like took it just under, I don't know, we all just like took it one day at a time and carried on.
So, but it was a complete shock to the family, was it?
Yeah, yeah. Because apart from, I think there might be one distant relative who has diabetes, but yeah, complete shock. Everyone else is very healthy. And I mean, I'm the fourth of the five. So mum already had loads of kids too. So it was kind of like fitting, you know, mate, you have to rejig your whole life, really, don't you?
Yeah. So how, I mean, you were only little. What were the feelings around the diagnosis?
I know, I don't remember, but I know my sister says the only time she's seen my dad cry was when I was diagnosed. But I think all of that was just from the shock. And like my mum, just her being her, she just dove straight into it, seemed to like master the diabetes within a couple of years. But I think, yeah, shock at first, and then it was just like, right, what are we going to do to make, like, I don't know, keep it going and make this as normal as possible for Lucy. And then my siblings are like the best people in the world. They've never made me feel different or like resented me for, that sounds so weird to say, but like obviously a lot more time was spent with me because I was having appointments and stuff. So yeah, they all just, my little sister would just come to all my appointments with me. So they were all amazing. But yeah, I don't actually remember though being diagnosed, obviously.
No, you're very little. So what's your current diabetes regime? Are you using any tech?
Yeah, so I've got the, I'm actually soon to get a new pump, but for the last 5-6 years, I've had the Accu-Check Insight pump, which is just amazing. Because when I was first diagnosed, we were still injecting, like mum was drawing up syringes and stuff, which is crazy. And I've also got the Dexcom, no, I haven't, I'm lying, Freestyle Libra, which again is just a complete game changer, more because I feel like it's, and it, I'm not embarrassed at all about my diabetes. Like, I don't mind, I didn't used to mind like checking my glucose in front of people or anything, but it's just so much more discreet. Like, you can do it so quickly now, everything, that it's just, yeah, it's come on so far in my lifetime, which is just crazy.
It is, isn't it? And also that where you can look back, or, you know, where it tells you you're going, so it's not just a finger prick test and a little yeah. window.
Yeah, definitely. Because sometimes as well, when you used to have to, like when it was just a finger prick, one second you'd be fine and like, you'll know, it can change so quickly. So just being able to, yeah, kind of stay on top of it is amazing. And also with the, because I've got the, yeah, the Freestyle Libra on at the moment. But I did try the Dexcom for a bit, because I'm going to have that when I go on the new pump. And that, like, alarms and stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you're, like, really in the know.
Mm. So amazing. So what happened with your eyesight?
So, oh, yeah, this is, oh, God. So I must admit, I had a bit of, I think they call it diabetic burnout, when I was around 15 is when it began. But I also, I was a bit of like carnage, to be honest, but I also had a reaction to one of the insulins I was given, which didn't help. So that made me kind of like completely swell up, for a short while. Basically, I didn't look after myself for a very long period of time, and because of that I developed cataracts, and then that's where, and because I wasn't looking after myself, I didn't go to the, I feel like I'm the worst person to be talking to.
Not at all.
But I didn't go to the hospital, because I mean, as well, I think a lot of diabetics will get this, it almost, I don't know, when it is going badly, it's just so frustrating, and you almost feel like you're letting, well, I feel like I'm letting people down, like the doctors and stuff, when it is going haywire, even though you know it's not in your control. But yeah, at the time, I didn't go to the doctors for a long period of time too. So that's why it got so bad. I actually lost my sight. And then when it happened again, I I had a really bad case of food poisoning, which led to ketoacidosis.
Yeah.
Sort of. And from that, I then developed a second, I can't actually remember what this one was called, but essentially it came back again. But luckily they managed to clear it. And like, the medical people who've looked after me are just the most amazing people in the world, because yeah, they just kept me going.
I know, it's amazing. And how did your family react then? So you said your mum had been really hands-on. So when you hit those kind of teenage years, which happens to a lot of people, you know, you've been living with it for years and years and years, and then, yeah, you want to be a normal teenager. How did mum and dad cope with that?
It was hard for the whole family, because, they just basically watched me fade away. But there was a lot going on as well at home at the time. So it was almost like, in my mind, diabetes was the last thing that mattered, like, which is so not the case. But also in your teen years, you literally think you're invincible. I don't know what goes on in our heads, but I was like, oh, like, I'll deal with that when it all happens. And I just wanted to be normal. And I, like I was saying previously, I didn't really mix with other diabetics when I was younger, just for no reason other than it just didn't really happen. And I remember I used to look at other diabetics and just think they had it all so sorted out, and that I could never be like that. And it's only since I've started like opening up about it and people have said, oh, I'm the same, or like, yes, yeah, stress causes me to go all over the place with my levels too, that I've realized actually you've just got to try your best and that's all you can do. Sorry, I've gone on such a ramble there, but
no, I just wondered if they'd struggled with you struggling.
I think my mum definitely did. My siblings didn't really know what was going on. Not because they're stupid, just because I think my mum just kept it from them as much as she could. I don't know. And then my dad wasn't that involved in the diabetes either. So yeah, it was more on my mum, and she, I think, found it hard too. She couldn't fix it, which is something she said the whole time with the diabetes. She likes to fix things, and obviously she couldn't, I don't like to say fix me, but she, yeah, couldn't put it right, which I think she will always struggle with too. Yeah.
So you made yourself a promise when you lost your eyesight. What was your promise to yourself?
I'm going to get emotional. I just like promised I would never do this to myself again, and that you just got to like, and I think I made the promise more so that I need to take the pressure off and like keep, you've just got to try your best and that's all you can. And like every day you just have to put your best foot forward. And sometimes diabetes is like a real storm, but yeah, just to look after myself.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, the DRWF podcast. My guest in this edition is illustrator Lucy Claire Dunbar. After hearing about the impact of living with type 1 diabetes, I moved on to ask her about her love for illustration.
I did it my whole life with my dad's an illustrator, animator. So we did it our whole lives, but started sharing, and I did it at school and university. When I'm drawing, my mind goes quiet. And I think with diabetes, there's a lot of noise going on. Just because you're constantly thinking, you're just thinking about like your levels and how to handle it. And when I'm drawing, for those like couple of hours or something, everything just goes quiet and I can calm down, breathe, and yeah, it heals something in me. And I think everyone has a different thing that they like to do that winds them down, if it's knitting or going for a run or anything like that. I think it's good to find your kind of therapy.
Yeah.
If you have a bad day, it doesn't mean like everything you've done up until then has gone out the window or anything. So yeah, just helps. Drawing just helps me process stuff. And a lot of processing comes with diabetes. Every time something new happens, I'm like, oh my gosh, overwhelm. And then I'll go to drawing to like calm my soul. So yeah. And then from there, it just started to grow. And I think people relate to, I don't know, a lot of the things I share.
Yeah. So this is your first published book. It's called The Book of Gifts. Can you tell us a bit more about the work and your hopes and dreams for it?
Oh, gosh. So it's called The Book of Gifts because it's kind of going through all of the trials and tribulations of diabetes. I just think I realized maybe earlier than others how precious the little moments are, and the kind of the everyday is a gift, particularly the times where it's nearly been very end of the road for me. Every page, I hope, will relate to someone somewhere, and there it's divided into the gifts we find in life, for example, love, friendship, kindness, and yeah, just illustrated, watercolor illustrated designs to go with the affirmations and quotes each day. Hopefully make someone somewhere feel less alone, because I think diabetes can do that. It can be very lonely sometimes because it's, yeah, a lot's in your head. You never get a day off. So, yeah. And yeah, my hopes and dreams are just that it can help people. That's kind of, I've almost written it for my 16-year-old self. Like, just, if I could give it to her, I would.
That's really lovely. And you're right, it is rather lonely. So, I mean, I've been quite lucky. I work with a team, and Lee, my colleague, he's also living with type 1. So I've always had a go-to. But
yeah,
but that's rare, I realise. And I think that's where some social media accounts have been really, really good for people who...
Definitely, definitely. And I've, like, you know, the algorithm picks up on what you're sharing and talking about.
Mm.
And since then, I've just seen so many more. I don't know. It's really helped me stop trying to be perfect with it and just try my best. And, like, mentally, that's helped me so much, because it's impossible to be perfect. You can't. I mean, for anyone who has diabetes, you know, but if you don't, you can't predict what your sugars are going to do at all, like at all. It just, your everything affects it, stress, hormones. So yeah, just trying your best. And that's what, through social media, I've just found so many amazing people living with it and just smashing life still. And it's, yeah, it's so inspiring.
Definitely. So where can people interact with you? I'm thinking of your social media accounts.
So they can find me on Instagram at Lucy Clare Illustration. And then also, oh gosh, should I even say it? Also on TikTok, Lucy Clare Illustration, but I'm not so good on TikTok.
You're not dancing?
No. I actually share a lot more diabetes stuff on TikTok because it's a bit more relaxed, but it's a lot to keep up with.
It is, yeah. And so just thinking about that journey, I know you talked about the book being for your 16-year-old self, and I get that completely, and you need those affirmations. Any hints and tips around just day-to-day living?
I feel like I sound like such a cliche, but A, just take each day as it comes. Don't put too much pressure on yourself. And also, it's really okay to ask for help. Like, no one's going to judge you for asking for help. And that's, yeah, something I wish I'd known when I was like, or did when I was younger. I spent too long fighting it on my own, if that makes sense.
Definitely.
So yeah.
Yeah.
And please just know you're not alone.
Yeah. And anything else you want to add?
Just for all the diabetics, just keep smashing it, because honestly, I feel like it's a full-time job.
It is.
Every single day. So I just think everyone doing it, when, you know, nowadays you can see the patches on people and like pumps, you just silently think, oh, you've got diabetes too. And yeah, I just think you're all amazing.
DRWF, staying well until a cure is found.
You're listening to Living with Diabetes, the DRWF podcast. Our thanks to Lucy Clare Dunbar for talking to us about living with type 1 diabetes and the Book of Gifts, which is published by Penguin Books on 14th of November, available from all good bookshops, in-store and online. Just a reminder, there's lots of useful information about living with diabetes and how to support the charity, together with the latest fundraising events, news and information on our website at drwf.org.uk. This is Claire Levy from Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. Our thanks again to Lucy for talking to us, and also to you for listening to this latest edition of our podcast, Living with Diabetes.
Living with Diabetes is a Blue Aurora media production for DRWF. Copyright 2024, Diabetes Research and Wellness Foundation. All rights reserved.